This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the Miami Hurricanes have advanced to the national championship in college football. 31-27. Win over Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. And a guy who doesn't like hearing those words is our next guest. He is Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Talk to me, Arthur. Miami potentially pulling off this run where they looked like they were out of the playoff, but now going to the title game where they're one game away from winning a championship, is this the worst possible result for the sportsbook this year?
For the Westgate, it is, no doubt about it, Dustin. You know, it's all about the U. It's not a good thing for us. We took preseason money on them. After they beat Notre Dame, we took money on them. Even when they had that little middle of the season swoon and they dropped back down 60, 70, 80 to 1, we still took Miami money. Man, Miami is not a great result for us.
Okay, well, talk to me about this then, because Miami, the number flew around all season long. I bet 16 to 1 early in the year. I got 70 to 1 late in the year. I saw some people having over 100 to 1 on Miami when they were ranked outside of the playoff picture during those Tuesday broadcasts on ESPN. How does this impact how you guys will book these odds going forward? Because the last 2 years, it's been difficult. And the way things have gone this year, I think this is our new reality of anyone can win, just get in the dance. But any of the teams that make it can make a run. Does this change how you guys will book the futures going forward?
I think there's no doubt about it. And you mentioned it. Anyone can win. It feels like with NIL and all the transfer portal stuff, all these teams are a little bit closer. The teams who get the buys don't have an advantage. They seem to have a disadvantage. And you're right. Miami was ranked every week outside of the poll. And we might have to look at this differently next year, where some of these teams who are kind of lurking outside the poll, we might have to adjust their numbers, keep them a little bit lower just in case they do sneak in, because anyone can win.
Yeah, it's wild. It's going to be difficult for you guys, but don't worry. We'll be looking to exploit those bad numbers when you guys put them out there. Chatting with Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. All right, let's go to the Peach Bowl. We'll find out who's going to take on Miami in the national championship. Right now, Indiana at the Superbook's laying 3.5. The total is 48.5. How are they betting this, and how would you bet it, Arthur?
Total's gone up from 46.5 on our opener to 48, so we've seen over money. We actually opened Indiana 4, but we're now 3, despite Indiana money. So a little bit of reverse line movement here. Indiana's very public. Feels like the sharper guys are going to be on Oregon. Public has fallen in love with the coach and the quarterback and the whole Indiana story. We would like to see Oregon get in the title game because of the future position that we have on Oregon. Oregon against Miami would be good for us, because Oregon would be a really positive result for us. I don't know, though. I think Indiana is one of these teams that is going to go on this magical run and keep going on it. I think they're going to win and cover.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with them, because I've been so wrong about them so many times in big games. Yep. Like, big season picture for the year, I thought they'd be really good. I bet them over the win total. But every time they've had like a step up in competition, I faded them and I've been so wrong. And now I want to bet them, which always has you concerned, because now you're reacting to your own failures. So that's dangerous. I'm going to stay away. I kind of like the under, though. How about wild card weekend? Let's begin with the first game on Saturday. The Rams go to Carolina. This number's up to 10.5 over at the Superbook. 46.5 is the total. What are you seeing with the Rams trying to get revenge on the Panthers?
We opened 10, took sharp money on 10, got to as high as 11. Saw nibble back on 11 with Carolina, now have settled into the middle there. Listen, we're going to need Carolina in the game. I think not only because the public is going to eventually come in and bet the Rams, they're going to set up everyone's money line parlays. That's going to be their first leg, the free bingo spot. We'll be pulling for Carolina.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. What about Green Bay and Chicago? Because I'm seeing you guys still have it. Packers -1.5. The total's down to 44.5. I think that's due to weather. I kind of like the over here, Arthur. I may be crazy and on an island, but I don't really trust either defense. The weather could play a role in ruining that for me. But what are you seeing with the Packers and the Bears?
Oh, listen, we opened Bears as a slight favorite, minus one. And then we've seen nothing but Packer money. We took sharp money on Green Bay at plus one, a little bit of money line stuff as well. Green Bay then went to one, and now we're 1.5. Total has creeped down because of the weather concerns. And you're right, Dustin, if you like the under, you might wait. It could probably even go down a little bit further, and then you can get it at its lowest point and hit that over.
Yeah, I mean, I probably bet it too early. I bet over 46. I think this thing might close around 43 based on the weather reports coming out of Chicago. Our guest is Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. San Francisco and Philly, we're up to 5.5. You know, I thought it was interesting. This number came out at 3.5, and I was like, oh, I know what they're doing. They want to trick us into betting San Fran. It appears, though, people aren't falling for it. They're taking the Eagles because we're up to 5.5 right now on the spread. The total at Westgate is 44.5. Talk to me about San Fran and Philly.
Eagles on the 3.5 opener. Instant sharp money took us to 4.5 on the game. Then the public started piling in at 4.5, 5. We got to 5.5 by the time I left work today. Listen, it feels like we can't write a San Francisco bet. We're going to be big Niner fans. I'm just being real. We can't. It just doesn't feel like anyone wants to come in and take San Francisco. And the Eagles are also popular in the money line parlays. We'll be rooting for the Niners.
It's so funny, too, because if you just think about watching Philly play this year, like, how can you be confident in them? But, like, These are those spots. I can tell you this. You guys throw something over 6 up there, I think you'll start getting San Francisco money, I think. So be careful what you wish for. Chargers in New England. Patriots laying 3.5. Total is 46. I'm on the Chargers. I took 3.5. But as the week goes on, I am feeling like I may be on the chalky square side. What are you seeing here?
I align with you here, Dustin. I think this is a 3-point game. And if you're going to give me 3.5, give me the Chargers. More of our respected accounts have taken the 3.5. And we really haven't moved off that 3.5. We've just kind of played with the juice where we're 3.5, minus 116, because we're dealing minus 108 lines in NFL playoff games. I still don't know if the public or the sharp guys know what to do with New England. We've had a full year of this, and I think people are just like, well, should New England really be laying over a touchdown? I know it's a home playoff game, but it feels like maybe a lot for them in their first go-around with this group.
Sunday night football, we've got Houston on the road laying 3. Total's 38.5. I bet under 39.5. I don't understand the love for Pittsburgh here, but losing that hook, like, I don't get it. I think Houston's the only way I'd bet the side. What are you guys seeing at the Westgate?
You know, Dustin, I was with you. I was like, wait, how is Houston not going to win this game going away? How's Pittsburgh going to score? But you know what? We took a lot of respected accounts who took a home dog getting 3.5. I get the logic. I think what you said is the big thing. 39.5 on our opener. We're now 38.5. I think that total even goes lower. This feels like a 14-10 game. I don't know how they get anywhere close to 40 points in this game. I think this total is going to continue to go down. That might be my favorite bet of the whole playoff weekend is the under in that game.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how Pittsburgh scores multiple times. Like, I think they get one touchdown, but I don't see two coming for them. And I think Houston just dominates in every other aspect of this contest. Talk to me about a futures perspective in the NFL. Do you guys have any major liabilities of these playoff teams?
You know, when you look at the teams, I would say the team who's the, you know, outside of Carolina, who's like a very, very big long shot, the team who's at the top of the board in the odds, the team that we really want to avoid, and their path is tough because they're the 5 seed, is the Rams. They bet the Rams throughout the whole season, preseason, the whole year we were taking Ram money. So right now as we sit, Rams are probably the team we want to avoid winning the Super Bowl.
And then I want to go back to college real quick. I saw some hypothetical lines up for other books for Miami versus Indiana, Miami versus Oregon. Do you have a rough guess of what those odds would be if it's Miami against Indiana or Miami against Oregon in the national title?
I feel like if Miami and Oregon play, I think it will be tight. Oregon will probably be a slight favorite, 1, 1.5. It feels like it'd probably be in that range. I think Indiana, despite Miami's run, Indiana clearly, you know, the best team, the number one seed. If they handle Oregon, that feels like that game's going to open 4, 4.5 maybe. And Indiana's public. We're going to take a lot of Indiana money. So I think Indiana will be a pretty good favorite in that game.
Good stuff as always. He is Arthur DeCesar. Check him out over at the Westgate Superbook at ArtDice21 on X. Appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your night and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, Dustin. Listen, man, we will talk next week, divisional weekend, my friend.
Ooh, it's getting juicy. We're getting down to the wire here in the NFL. It's awesome. And if you're going to bet in the NFL, you're listening to my voice, you don't have a VSiN Pro subscription yet, now's the time to get in because you can head into the year with smarter betting strategies powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make smarter, more informed bets every single day. You'll get daily best bets from every single show here on VSiN, plus real-time betting splits from Circa and DraftKings so you can see where the money is going in every single matchup. AI-powered prop tools, the VSiN.com/NFL props and NBA props, Opta AI player prop projections are maybe my favorite thing we've ever done here at the network. Plus, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, full show replays, all available. You'll get expert picks, prop data all throughout NFL and college football playoffs. Plus, you've got March Madness. You've got everything available coming up down the road. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked in to Cashing Out VSiN, the sports betting network. A lot to get to here throughout the program. We've got a few college basketball games that I have plays on for Thursday's action. We'll do a more detailed breakdown of the Peach Bowl, Indiana, and Oregon. You will hear from Fernando Mendoza, your Heisman winner, his thoughts on his team's mentality as they make this run to potentially one of the greatest runs in the history of college football. But when we return, you're going to hear sound from the other shows here on VSiN, including on the Niners and Eagles, a prop bet from the guru John Hansen, and Wes Reynolds weighs in on why or how he's going to bet on the Peach Bowl. You'll hear all of that coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. A lot to get to here in our next 45 minutes. We've got Colby Dant coming up in 15 minutes. His thoughts on the Fiesta Bowl. Miami goes to the title game. Is he looking at back in Miami against Indiana or Oregon? I mean, is he buying into the Hurricanes who just picked up a huge win, the biggest win they've had in, I don't know, 20-something years. I mean, it's been a long time. The U is officially back. We'll get Colby's thoughts on that in 15 minutes. Plus, NBA player props matriculating through the various sports books right now. I just added one in Orlando and Philadelphia that we'll bring up in our VSiN Morning Bet segment. Plus, a few college hoops games we have to hit on for Thursday's card. But in the meantime, we're going to bring you the best sound bites from earlier in the day here on VSiN. It's a little thing we like to do called Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Oh, it sounded like Eric Cartman there. That was a bit rough. This is Night Bites. What we do is, because if you're listening to my voice, there's a good chance you didn't hear some of the shows earlier in the day here on the network. Maybe you missed VSiN by the books. Don't worry, we got you covered. Maybe you missed Prop Points. We got you. Maybe it was yesterday when Wes Reynolds was on one of the shows here. I believe it was a numbers game. And we get all of his thoughts on all the matchups. So let's begin with VSiN by the books. You know, Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross, they get your day started at 7 a.m. Eastern time all the way until 10 o'clock. They had Ross Tucker on, one of my favorite NFL analysts out there. Really detailed guy, former player, super cerebral, Ivy Leaguer, great at explaining things so that dumb people like me can understand what's going on a football field. And they asked him about the matchup between the Niners and the Eagles this weekend.
I have enough faith in Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy and probably enough concern about this Eagles offense. I like the Niners and the points. I like the 4.5 with the Niners. I think the Eagles probably win 23-20, 24-20, something like that. But unless all their quarterbacks get hurt again, like what happened in the NFC Championship game a couple years ago, I do think this will be competitive, and it'll come down to the end. My guess is that the Eagles will use Jalen Hurts' legs late to either get the game-winning score or to seal the game or whatever. But I do like the Niners and the points in that one. I like the Eagles straight up, but I know I'm on Beeson right now. I like the Niners plus the 4.5.
Hey, finally someone making a case with a big number. You can get a 5.5 right now. For San Francisco, Trent Williams, their big left tackle, was seen practicing today. That is a positive sign, but still not a lock. He's going to be available. George Kittle was limited today, but he's on track to play in this matchup. Ricky Pearsall did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. For the Eagles, Lane Johnson practiced in a limited capacity today. Jalen Carter also limited. Those are the big injuries there. Dallas Goedert as well, limited in Thursday's practice. I'm on the under. I went under 44.5, you know. Kyle Shanahan's 20-15 to the under as a road dog. He's 17-9 to the under as a road dog of 7 or less. He's 8-4 to the under in the playoffs. And Sirianni, 10-4 to the under in January. 3-0 to the under in the wild card round. I like the under here. I think defense dominates for Philly. I still don't trust the Eagles' offense, even against a depleted San Francisco squad on that side of the football. I don't anticipate a ton of scoring. I don't see a track meet happening. Give me the under, 44.5 in Eagles and Niners. All right, let's go to the next clip here as John Hansen, the fantasy guru, hosts the show Prop Points, which you can catch 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays here on VSiN. And he was looking at props when it comes to the Rams and the Panthers. And he said this stands out to him in a matchup for Tet McMillen,
over 52.5 receiving yards, minus 115. Bet MGM. I understand our guy Michael Cohen did bring up some good points here. It's his first playoff game for Bryce Young as well. Ram D is pretty good, but I got way more positives on Tet McMillen. Rams gave up the most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to outside receivers the final 5 weeks of the season. It was worth plus 7.5 fantasy points, which could be 75 yards. It could be a touchdown and 15 yards, but it could also be 75 yards. They also gave up the fifth most receiving yards per game to outside receivers on the season. It's also a good schematic matchup for Tet. He averages a strong 2.40 yards per route run on a lot of routes, 242, large sample size against cover three and cover two, which they use 52% of the time.
I like it. And plus they're an underdog, should be throwing late. I don't hate that there. I like where the guru is at. In terms of this game, my only bet is on the Rams team total over 28.5. And I like Kyren Williams over 67.5 rush yards as well. I don't know about my team total now. The more I've marinated about it, I probably should have just been a little bit tougher and taken Carolina plus the 10.5. They're good as home dogs. They're good at home this year. 9-5 at home against the spread. 5-2 against the spread as a home dog. But I think that the Rams are going to get it done, man. And I think they're going to be able to put up some points. I'm okay with my team total, but you're just worried about such a big number in the playoffs that traditionally lean to unders. I might have gotten a little overzealous there. McVay's 4-2 to the over on Saturday games, if that does anything for you. And if you're playing a Saturday game, it's usually a big game in the NFL scheduling. So I am on the team total. I like Kyren Williams a lot, though, in that matchup, especially getting some extra runs later in the game with them having a lead on the road against the Panthers. All right, next clip up here. Let's go to the Peach Bowl. Wes Reynolds, who's at the Peach Bowl. Actually, he might still be en route to the Peach Bowl, driving from Nashville to Atlanta. He's going to have a great time, and I think his team is going to win. And he said that when he went on Wednesday's edition of VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis and said he's going to stand by his Hoosiers and broke down the keys against the Oregon Ducks.
It's going to be for Oregon, I think, to have a chance to win this game. They're going to have to run the ball and run it a lot more effectively, and I'm not sure that they can, so I played Indiana on the money line here. I know there's some sharp money that came in at plus 4. I don't care. I've got no reason to go against Kurt Cignetti. He hasn't, really brought in a lot of doubt based on what they've been doing. So, you ride it until they knock you off the horse, and that's what I'm going to do with Indiana.
Appreciate that from Wes. Look, he'd be kicking himself if he wavered and went against his team after the run they've been on. In fact, I was doing live bet Saturday shows with him a year ago. And he kept fading them. He's like, look, it's been amazing, but I know this. It's Indiana football. At some point, the glass slipper comes off. It ain't coming off, man. You are the hunted. You are no longer the hunter. Everyone is coming after you. Everyone wants to be you. Everyone's looking for the next Cignetti. The only way this thing comes to an end for Indiana is if Kurt Cignetti decides to try his talents at the NFL, because I do think they're going to come calling. And could you imagine that? I mean, the run for him to turn it into an NFL job. I don't know if what he does works at the NFL level. Like, I think his game planning, I think his tactical approach to the game, absolutely, that will translate anywhere. But I think his attitude, his persona, his bravado, the way he motivates, I think that works way better at college. And I like it for college. It's good for college. College football needs a personality like that. It lost a bunch of legends the last few years. Nick Saban walked away. Urban Meyer stepped away. We need someone like Kurt Cignetti to carry the mantle. Someone with some substance. Not Lane Kiffin, right? If you can compare and contrast, what Kurt Cignetti has done in 2 years is actually greater than anything Lane Kiffin's ever done as a head coach. Like, let's be fair. I mean, Lane Kiffin walked away from a chance to contend for a national title, and his team actually played better without him and was 4 points away tonight from potentially going to overtime with a chance to play for the national title. So think about it from that perspective. So I like where Wes is at. I like the under. I'm not going to get there and bet it yet. I may add it later on in the day, but right now that's the only way I'm leaning, is the under in that matchup. Cignetti is 16-8 against the spread, 15-9 to the over as a favorite, 7-2 against the spread as a favorite, of 3.5 to 10, 4-2 to the under, when the total's between 42.5 and 49. But this is the greatest turnaround we've ever seen from a coach and a program and a team in any sport. I mean, we're talking about the worst team in the history of college football, loss-wise, win-wise. They couldn't ever do anything right. They've now made 2 playoff appearances. They just won their first ever Big Ten. They had only 2 10-win seasons in school history are the last 2 years. Wins over Ohio State, Bama, and Oregon. They won the Heisman this year. He's 25-2, 14-0 this year. He beat Oregon. He beat Ohio State to win the Big Ten. He beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl, which is a sentence that if I told you 10 years ago would not compute, that the Rose Bowl featured a game involving Indiana, and Indiana beat the other team, and the other team was Alabama. They could potentially be the Big Ten's third straight national champion. Now, Oregon could also be their third straight national champion, but the story is Indiana. The story is not Oregon. And you wonder, Dan Lanning, remember when they played Colorado? And there's been a few other key moments here. When he's had a chance to use the storylines on the outside looking in as something to put on the bulletin board, as no one believes in us, no one thinks we're special, no one thinks we can do it, his teams have stepped up. You got to be fair about Dan Lanning. There are certainly some shortcomings in big games. But when he's been able to say that no one thinks you guys are good enough, his team has responded. Maybe it's the type of player he recruits. Maybe it just gives him a bigger edge as a coach. But Dan Lanning's going to be ready for the task. I think we all want to see Indiana go. But don't get me wrong. Oregon-Miami would be a fantastic title. You'd have Miami trying to get all the way back and win a title. And then you'd have Oregon looking for their first championship after so many close calls. So we'll discuss the potential matchups for Miami. Will it be Oregon? Will it be Indiana? We'll break it down on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the Fiesta Bowl is come and gone. The Miami Hurricanes win 31-27. Game goes over the total, and Miami covers 3, 3.5, however you want to lay it. They end up covering it. Yet, it's a weird box score. Colby Dant and I were just talking during the break. You look at the box score. Miami dominated every aspect of the game when it comes to the stats. Yet, they almost lost it at the end. And to help us recap what we saw, preview the Peach Bowl, and more, we're going to go to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The College Experience is his show at the Colby D on X. And he joins us now on Cashing Out. Your thoughts on Miami advancing and being one game away from winning a national title?
I never thought Mario Cristobal would get here. Now, it did, you know, to his credit, having John Ruiz cut checks is pretty nice. But I don't want to make excuses. I think he did a great job. Obviously, you know, Shannon Dawson's a really good OC, but one of the best things he did was Corey Heatherman as the defensive coordinator. So I got to give Cristobal credit. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, there's plenty of coaches historically that might not have been great X's and O's, but they were smart enough to hire good coordinators. And that's exactly what he did. But I'll tell you this, you look at that box score and if you were to not look at the score and just look at the stats, it's quite an amazing box score considering, you know, they only won by four and what needed the score in the final minute to get there. Because you look at this and Miami was 13 of 21 on third and fourth down. You would think, okay, they dominated, right? Ole Miss was 2 of 10 on third and fourth down, right? How the heck did Ole Miss almost win this game?
No, it's wild. It's wild.
Time of possession, 42 minutes for Miami to 18. How did Ole Miss almost win this game? As much as I just praised Cristobal, that has to be Cristobal effect, right?
No, it's absolutely wild. It's a tremendous point by you. It's the style of the offense. Everything is short. It's not really, even though they hit a couple of explosives today, Ole Miss scored on explosive. They used a big 77-yard run from Lacy. That's how they got one of their scores. So that benefited them and kind of changed the way that the game went, despite the stats being the way they are. But here's my question. Do you genuinely believe that Mario Cristobal, in a national championship game where he will have a home field advantage, can he actually finish the job if he's facing either? I don't care which one, Dan Lanning or Kurt Cignetti. Do you give him any chance?
I'll give him a chance just because I think the team, you know, I know they finished tied for sixth in the ACC, but I like their roster is really good. I mean, along the line of scrimmage, they're right there with the other schools still alive. So I think you, and the fact that you're playing a home game, which hasn't really, I mean, I know LSU won two at the Superdome there in New Orleans, but Miami back in the 80s and 90s, this was actually kind of common for them to win the Orange Bowl, if the Natty with the Orange Bowl. So, I mean, that is a great thing to have. We'll see if they show out there in Miami Gardens, but anything's possible. I'll just say that. I think Oregon's the better matchup for them.
Yeah.
I also think it's pretty profound that this is, ever since we started paying players, this is now 3 years without an SEC team in the national championship.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because they used to pay the players, but then everyone else was allowed to pay the players. Now that's changed the playing field for everyone involved. He's Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast. The College Experience is his show at the Colby D on X. Well, what do you make Oregon and Indiana? Because I don't have a great feel. I want to be very reactionary and lay the points with Indiana, but I've been wrong about them. I've doubted them a few times. They've proved me wrong. Now I want to join the party. That total's 48.5. Indiana's laying 3.5. Which direction are you looking?
Yeah, I'm on the Hoosiers. My fear is that I think almost every person I've talked to is on the Hoosiers. Look, Oregon, credit for them defensively against Texas Tech, and I took Texas Tech, but I was wary of Baron Morton, and I got Mortoned. Now, some of that was because of Oregon. Some of it was also he just looked like a deer in the headlights. I still think Oregon has some problems offensively when they go against really good defenses. So Mendoza also threw a pick six in that first matchup in Austin. I think he's going to be on point this matchup. He's the, you know, he's the more experienced, older quarterback. I think that will be the difference in the game. That, and I also think, you know, the fact that Oregon struggles to score, especially, you know, if they don't get the big play, I feel like go look at all those top teams they played. A lot of times they're settling for field goals. They're not able to score touchdowns. I think that'll probably be the case. So I'm going to lay it with Oregon. I'm sorry. I'm going to lay it with Indiana. But also, man, if they do play Miami, going back to that game, Xavier Lucas is out for the first half with that phantom targeting penalty. I think that's something we should note.
That is big. And by the way, here's the hypothetical lines from FanDuel. Indiana against Miami laying 5.5, total of 44.5. Oregon laying 3.5 and a total of 46.5. Do either of those jump out to you? Indiana minus 5.5, Oregon minus 3.5.
I would be inclined to take the points, I think. Now, I think I would like it more against Oregon. If you're a Canes fan, you probably want to root for Oregon.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that matchup fits them a little bit better. But I still think with Indiana, I'd probably end up taking the points. I know Mendoza's from Miami, so that'd be a homecoming. Actually, that's a great storyline, too, is, you know, Miami's defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherman, was Kurt Cignetti's DC at James Madison back a few years back.
I didn't realize
so
that.
So you get that drama. And then if Oregon wins, you get Cristobal against his old team with a lot of his players that he recruited.
I like it. I like that a lot. That's an interesting storyline that I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of over the buildup of like 2 weeks before we get this game. Love having the game on a Monday night, though. That's a beautiful thing. It's a great tradition to have that, to build up, to get ready for it. He is Colby Dan. He's a great tradition here on Thursdays on Cashing Out Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the Colby DNX. I had to do the math in my head what day of the week it is. And usually when I can't figure it out, I know it means it's Thursday because it's my last day of the week. All right, let's go to college hoops. We are very much in sync on two plays. The first one, USC's going to Minnesota and the Gophers are laying 4.5. The total's 145.5. I took the 4 with USC. I don't have a 4.5 out there. I'm seeing a 4.5 on DraftKings. You like the Trojans as well. Tell me why.
I mean, look, just a little while ago, they were ranked before Michigan beat them by 1,000. But, you know, so I think, first, and Nico Medved's doing a great job at Minnesota. However, this is year one. They just got a gigantic win at home against Iowa where the fans stormed the field or stormed the court at the barn. But consistency has been an issue. They almost lost to Doug Gottlieb. Probably should have lost to Green Bay and Doug Gottlieb. So Minnesota's been inconsistent, which is normal for a first-year coach installing their offense and defense and, you know, getting their players together. But I think Musselman is in year two at USC, and they're turning that corner, even though I know they just got drilled a couple times. But, yeah, I think the Trojans are going to – they've been on the road, so I'm gonna take the Trojans to go there, get it done. Chad Baker Mazzara is all the difference. Let's go.
Mountain West Conference, Colorado State. I got a 7. I laid 7 here at Circa, taking on UNLV. Total's 151.5. Every time I look up, UNLV's getting beat bad by someone, and Colorado State's pretty solid. Talk to me about the play. Why are we laying the wood here?
Yeah, I know UNLV's been on the they were in Laramie the other night. We took Wyoming, and they just got drilled. So they're probably adjusted to the altitude. The problem is I didn't like the Josh Pastner hire. I've never been convinced that he's a good basketball coach. And then they've been injured, man. They've been injured a lot, even in the preseason. So UNLV is 7-7. They have losses to like UT Martin and stuff. Montana, I think, got them. So they just haven't been very good this year, not very cohesive. On the other side, Ali Farrakh Manesh, the new head coach of Colorado State, like, to me, I think they're getting better. They lost to New Mexico, but New Mexico is good. So I think at Fort Collins at home, that crowd, it's a pretty good crowd there historically over the past few years. I think that's all the difference. I like the Rams laying the number.
Yeah, we are copacetic there. I agree. USC plus 4.5, Colorado State minus 7.5, and Indiana in the Peach Bowl laying that 3 and a hook. Colby, appreciate you as always, my friend. We will chat again next week, and good luck with all the plays.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Awesome stuff from Colby. I look forward to that. That is like my favorite way to end the week, is chatting with Colby, talking college sports. He is so freaking dialed in on everything. It's crazy. I mean, we didn't even get to all of his college basketball bets, but he liked Bowling Green plus 2.5. He liked Mount St. Mary's minus 1.5. He liked Cleveland State plus 14.5. Miami of Ohio money line. Like, he digs deep and doesn't mess around. I suggest if you love college sports, go check out his podcast. It is The College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and at the Colby DNX is where you can find him and more. As he alluded to, we've got some college basketball for tomorrow that we have to get to. I have some plays in those games, including the two you just heard, but plus one team that I just can't stop betting the under on, and that total's high for one of their matchups. I'll tell you who that is next. A player prop has already been added to the old portfolio for the Magic and the Sixers. We'll see if maybe there's one or two more we can do, plus a full preview of the Peach Bowl Wild Card Weekend. We've got it all covered. That's coming up in our next segment. It is our VSiN Morning Bet segment, and it's coming your way in just a few minutes right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. If you missed any part of the show, you can always go back and download the show wherever you get your podcasts. Great conversation with Sam Brookhouse from Sumer Sports. Some thoughts on the Peach Bowl, plus the Bills and the Jaguars. He made a very compelling case for Buffalo, and there have not been a lot of people trying to back Buffalo in this matchup in Wild Card Weekend. Steve Berline in hour number two, former NFL quarterback. We established 17, not 14 years in the league for him. He was tremendous. I thought his breakdowns of the games were very, very strong. Awesome information from Steve. We went behind the counter over at the Westgate from Arthur DeCesar at the Westgate Superbook. He told us their biggest liabilities and the issues they have with Miami advancing to the national title. And then Colby Dant in our last segment, looking at college football and college basketball. And we're going to do a little bit of that here, plus some NBA, because it's time for our VSiN Morning Bet segment. And we'll begin with the Peach Bowl. Miami awaits either Oregon or Indiana. According to FanDuel, Indiana would be a 5.5-point favorite in the national title game against the Canes. Oregon would be a 3.5-point favorite, 44.5 the total with the Hoosiers, 46.5 the total when it comes to the Ducks, as they're going to do battle in the ATL on Friday. Right now, the line has Indiana laying 3.5. Your total is 48.5. And Steve Mackinnon over at VSiN.com dropped these playoff trends. If you want a little bit more emphasis and information to help you decide on which side you like, for Oregon, they're on a 13-5-1 against the spread run versus teams that outscore their opponents by more than 15 points per game. They're on a 5-1-1 against the spread surge against teams ranked better than them in the AP poll. Indiana is 7-1 covering the number versus defenses that allow fewer than 20 points per game. And they're 10-1 against the spread in their last 11 tries against teams that average 7.5 yards per attempt or more. If I was going to bet this one, I would lay it with Indiana, and I would take the under, even though it's a rematch. I just think Indiana, the ride's not going to stop here. They don't make mistakes. And I have a lot of concerns about Dan Lanning and all the going forward on fourth down and catching up with him. In fact, when they played in Eugene earlier this year, Lanning went forward on fourth down opening drive, and it allowed Indiana to kick an early field goal and take the lead in that game and never look back. Let's hear from the quarterback of the Hoosiers, the Heisman Trophy winner. He's Fernando Mendoza, and he talked about his team and how together they are going on this run.
Yeah, this is an extremely tight team. Not only are we tight on the field, we're very tight off the field. And Pat is, I mean, he's basically, if not the captain, one of the biggest captains on our team, and especially our offense. He always gives us pregame speeches, halftime speeches, and makes sure that we never have that complacency. And it's all a trickle-down effect from Coach Sig to the coordinators, to our position coaches, to then the leaders on the team, to then really just throughout the entire team. So I think Pat is a great representation of that. He always boosts us with a little jolt of a pregame speech, whether it's a Misfit speech, whether it's a speech he gave us before the Rose Bowl, or the speech at halftime saying, hey, Oklahoma, they were up 17-0. You know, we don't want to fall in that trap. They're a good team. Alabama's resilient. Let's stomp them. Let's drag them to the deep end until the last bubble comes up. Then we could celebrate.
Hell yeah.
And so having guys like that on the team and having that mindset on the team is really why we were able to pull away.
He's talking about Pat Coogan, their center. He's been there, and he's one of the heartbeats of the team along with Mendoza. And this run is just going to keep going. Cignetti, 16-8 against spread, 15-9 to the over as a favorite, 7-2 covering as a favorite of 3.5-10, 4-2 to the under. When the total's between 42.5 and 49, Dan Lanning's 2-2 covering in bowl games, 3-1 to the under, 2-3 against the spread, 5-1 to the under as an underdog in his career, 23-15 against the spread in conference, 28-14 against the spread, and 24-19 to the over on with games on turf. He is, though, however, if you want to back the Ducks, 4-1 against the spread when revenging a loss, something he is looking to do here. I lean under, I lean Indiana. That's the way I'd look there. In terms of college basketball, a few games jumped out to me on the card for Friday, and I'll just keep betting this until something changes. But if Marist is playing in a game and the total is above 130, I'm going to bet the under because Marist is an elite defensive team, 29th in adjusted defensive efficiency. On Friday, they're laying 6.5 at Sacred Heart. The total's 141.5. John Dunn, the head coach of the Marist Red Foxes, 51-38 to the under as a favorite, 3-0 to the under as a favorite of 6.5-12 with Marist, 6-0 to the under in his career in that role as a road favorite. Anthony Latina for Sacred Heart, 56-32 to the under at home, 12-8 to the under as a home dog, 13-5 to the under at home when the total is between 130 and 139.5. Give me the under there. USC is going to Minnesota, where Minnesota's all fired up off an upset win against Iowa. That means we back USC. I took 4 points with the Trojans on the road. USC is a solid basketball team, man. They've had to play some tough competition lately, and they've come up on the wrong end of it, but they're good. I'm taking the points here. I'm fading Minnesota coming off of an upset win. It's just a principal bet. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm surprised the number was 4, 4.5. I thought we were looking at like a 1 to 2, 2.5 point range. Instead, the number's that big. Give me the 4 with USC. And then I laid 7 with Colorado State hosting UNLV. Colorado State's good, man. UNLV is not. You know, Colorado State, 25th in adjusted offensive efficiency. They're 5th from beyond the arc at 41.1%. They're 37th from 2 at 58.3%. They hit their free throws, which is something you like to see when you're betting on a team. Josh Pastner is just 2-3 against the spread as a dog this year with UNLV, 6-7 against the spread overall. And Ali Farokhamenesh, the head coach of Colorado State, 6-2 to the over at home, 4-4 against the spread. He's 6-0 against the spread when the total is between 150 and 159.5. Give me Colorado State. Let's lay the 7 there. Now, in the NBA, there's really only one player prop that jumped out to me that's available right now. We've got Philadelphia laying 2.5 at Orlando. The total's 228.5. Jalen Suggs has already been ruled out, but that means some more shots for other people in the lineup. We have missed on Anthony Black the last two games. It appears his hot streak may have ended. We'll see, because we're not betting it, if he ends up going over on his numbers again, but I'm staying away until further notice. I thought about Desmond Bane in this matchup and what could be an up and down game against the Sixers, but instead let's rock with Paolo Banchero. I went over 37.5 PRA, had really good numbers against Philadelphia the last time he saw them. It's minus 120 juice. I just think with a go-to scorer at home, Paolo Banchero will see a ton of volume shots against the Philadelphia team that's actually favored on the road. Give me Banchero, over 37.5 PRA there. Now, as far as wildcard weekend is concerned, I'm on the team total for the Rams, over 28.5. I thought about Carolina plus 10 at home, but I'm concerned about this Rams defense. You know, they've allowed more points, 29.7 points per game the last few weeks. Over the last three games, they're the 6th worst scoring defense in football. That's aligned with teams like Dallas and Arizona, Miami, the Jets, and Indy. I think because of that, the defense is leaky. That could lead to some more possessions and chasing points, kind of like how it went with Arizona in Week 18. The Rams offense also needs to keep its rhythm. So because of that, I don't see them calling anything off lately or playing with their food. I think they put the pedal to the metal and they go over 28.5. I also like Kyren Williams, over 67.5 rush yards to run out the clock there. Packers, Bears, give me the over. I went over 46. You can get a much better number right now. And I understand why people like the under and the unders, the numbers dropping. Bad weather in the area, but both defenses I don't trust. No Parsons, no Wyatt for Green Bay. Last 4 weeks, they're allowing 26 points per game. Matt LaFleur is 34-26 to the over on the road. He's 21-13 to the over when the total's between 42.5 and 49. He's 10-6 to the over in January. I also like Josh Jacobs, over 72.5 rush yards. I think they establish him early, and he runs all over this Bears front. Give me the Chargers plus 3.5 at New England. Chargers defense keeps them in the game. 9th in scoring at 20 points per game. 5th versus the pass. 8th versus the run. Defense will travel. And Jim Harbaugh as an underdog, I want to back. 6-3 against the spread as a dog with the Chargers. 15-9 in his career. 4-2 against the spread as a road dog with the Chargers. Vrabel just 2-3 covering the number in playoff games. I went under 39.5 with Houston and Pittsburgh. Texans defense, number 1 in defensive EPA per play. They're 2nd in scoring. They're 4th versus the run. They're 6th versus the pass. 3rd in opponent completion percentage. I just don't see Pittsburgh scoring multiple touchdowns. Ryan, 17-6 to the under in his career. 16-10 to the under on the road. 22-13 to the under on grass. I love the under. Tomlin also 65-50 to the under as a dog. 22-13 to the under as a home dog. I also went over 43.5 receiving yards for tight end Dalton Schultz. Bills Jags under 51.5. Sean McDermott's 43-31 to the under when he's on the road. He's 22-17 to the under as a road favorite. Liam Cohen, I think with his defense stopping the run and the limited weapons for Buffalo on the outside, I don't see a ton of chunk plays. I'm feeling the under there. I also like the under in the Eagles and the Niners. Kyle Shanahan, 8-4 to the under in the playoffs. Nick Sirianni, he is 10-4 to the under in January, 3-0 to the under in the wild card round. I love the under in that game as well. And I believe that wraps it up. Oh, sorry. Going back to the Bills and Jags, I like player props. We're going to go Ty Johnson and James Cook over their receiving yards because I think that is one element with the run taken away. They're going to have to throw to the running backs. And I don't trust the receivers for Buffalo. Dawson Knox over 20.5 receiving yards. Dalton Kincaid over 35.5 receiving yards. I think all of them have the potential to go over their low numbers. All right, we'll stay with VSiN all day long. We get started 7 a.m. Eastern time with VSiN by the books. Then you have a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern time, followed by prop points with the guru, John Hanson, at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Good luck with your bets. We will see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.